We are careering towards the end of our Tung Fu here at the start of Lingo Festival. How are you all doing? Not quite. How are you all doing? We're still here. We're still in the building. Okay, please put your hands together for the Poetry Slam Champ of Slam Sundays, Mr. Stephen Clare!
So I figured I'd divide the set in three, because I was going over my poems, and I didn't know, you know, what the fuck to put to music, because I tend not to be rhythmical. But I kind of thought I'd follow a theme, so I pulled out something really, really old, something from somewhere in the middle, and then something quite recent. And like most things in life, it's a descent. So we'll start sad, and we'll continue down from there. Possibly growing discordant. I don't know where you go after sad. But the first poem is an old one, and a lot of you might have heard it before. It's called Chinese Lanterns. You're not supposed to light Chinese lanterns in cities anymore. It is a beautiful and ancient tradition to tie your dreams up with string and watch them disappear into the night sky. But the lanterns end up getting stuck in trees or rivers. All the blind hope weighs them down, and they end up falling back to earth and polluting our daytimes. Also, they can interfere with planes and kill people. That said, when we snuck into the park on those summer nights, the only planes in my mind were rolling over Africa you said we'd visit someday. My only concern was that the stars were lonely, because I was too. Hands balled into fists, pockets weighed down with insecurity, carrying one stone heart carved out of lapis lazuli. You always said it was your favorite, and I got you a matching bracelet, but you never wore it. That summer, I learned to understand the stars. You know, how they feel, appearing so close in our sky when in reality they are islands, billions of miles apart, spreading their lights out as far as they can just to be noticed. I still get the taste of pancakes when I watch a sunrise. That summer, when we made the worst pancakes we've ever tasted, but our hands didn't care. They kept pulling us after them on a five-finger crusade to pinch out as many open flames as possible until we were fused together by skin. I didn't think we'd last forever, but I would have stitched our veins together one by one if I thought of what you've made you realize how much blood my heart pumped for you. At the end of that summer, I wrote down all the broken promises, cremated them over the Royal Canal. I still have the lanterns. I've learned that once you light the flame and let go, sometimes the best thing to do is to turn away. Don't look back to see where they land, because it's not watching them get lost in the stars that'll break your heart. It's watching them get so close, only to fall back down. It's watching the sun rise over a graveyard of wicks. It's watching hope sink behind paper tombstones. It's wandering through the light of dawn, wondering, what is it that made this dream too heavy to fly? Thank you. So, if we're doing chronology, we're going to skip forward maybe a year or two to this next poem, which is short. It's only about a minute or two long, and I used to perform it actually quite. Well, I never actually performed it, but the few people that I did perform it to said that it was much better when I stopped being very emotional, and I stopped gesturing, and I stood 2 feet planted very firmly and held back. So possibly something with a rising sense of tension, a rising sense of desperation. I never put a title on it either. So if anyone actually wants to shout out a title afterwards or come up to me, I'd be very grateful. The three of us sit around a table for six and bleed coins together into tipsy piles. He walks us again through the hotel grounds at 4 a.m. where freezing concrete stung the bare back of just another friend while he was meant to be sleeping. She wears heavy words and ringlets that dance along to his story and spits cliches into her glass where they clink against ice, lonely and clear. I roll up my fingernails to show off 2 years of rotted soil that I refuse to wash away. It still smells like wet grass behind a party tent where I was gently told that kisses don't mean anything. We comment about how being used and being given purpose are really kind of similar in a sick cosmic joke sort of way, while opening each other's wounds and grudgingly whispering through clenched straws that this, too, is love. Thank you. So, I do actually have funny poems. They're not going to appear tonight, but I do have them. So the end of the set is kind of, it's a natural end, I suppose. And it's if you want to play anything similar to what you've already been playing, but very discordant, very broken up, very, very unhappy and confused. Focus on the red duffel bag at your feet, how you put your entire life in that bag, how it's quite a small bag, really, how they're probably going to ask you to empty it, how big it seems when you think about having to pack it again. Your parents are there, and they keep talking about the rain, how it's terribly rainy today, and you wonder, when will you be outside again? When are you going to feel rain on your skin again? Would you know what that felt like, if you ever did? A smiling fat man comes along with his trousers low and his belt too tight, and you follow him to a small room where he asks, how are you feeling today? And you notice the walkie-talkie on his belt too tight, and you notice the button on the desk for psychiatric emergencies, and you feel small, and you feel dangerous. You're not a stereotype. This is your choice. To be here is your choice. His questions come knocking at your spine, making you slump, making you sit straight again. He thinks you're an alcoholic, but you're not. I mean, why would you lie about that? It's never been about the drinking. It's what happened before, or what happened after, or you've never really thought about your drinking before, actually, but his questions have moved on. He passes you a stack of forms, and you check the confidentiality clause, because you are doing this alone, and next a doctor comes, a real one. That's not what you meant, you're sorry. They weigh you, and they're unhappy. They take off your clothes and they're very unhappy. They peel you back, no. You peel yourself back in front of them, not ashamed, not proud, deeply sorry, no words. There are tick boxes for what you've done to yourself, what's happened. They ask your parents to come and see where you'll be staying. Bring the red duffel bag, they empty it out over the hospital bed. You put a dream catcher in the bag. There is no tick box for dream catchers. You feel pride. You can leave now, you say. Send your parents away, begin packing up your things. They leave you to it for 10 minutes before a nurse comes and asks, what are you doing? Why are you packing? You can put the things in your locker by the bed, remember? Your bed. You forgot how permanent this is going to be. You sit down on the hot, no, your bed, and you watch the nurses watching you through the window. You feel alone. Shouldn't have sent your parents away. What are you gonna do? What have you done? What are you gonna do now? You cried on the first night, watching the hospital lights dim. You stared out your window and you realized there is nowhere left for you to go to hide. Thank you.
Stephen Clare!